We're going to begin reading with verse 25. And I reckon we'll just go ahead and read the rest of this chapter. I was going to quit around verse 35, but it's only a couple more to finish it, so we'll read verse 25 through 38 of Acts 20. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, fell on Paul's neck, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. A very familiar passage of Scripture. It's probably a passage of Scripture that we have found ourselves in not too long ago. I didn't verify or check out that, but we're here often, it seems like. And the thought this morning is nothing new, but a thought that is, I hope, also familiar to us. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is moving back towards Jerusalem, not knowing what is going to happen to him there, as the direction of his life will continually take him towards Rome. And he spent a lot of time, he spent years, in fact, with the church of the Ephesians and the elders of that particular church. And in our reading today, he has sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus. From Miletus, he has called them to come and meet him, since he's not going to have the time to go by there and physically visit. And he calls them to come, and he calls them for the purpose of saying his final farewell, if you would, to these elders of the church at Ephesus. And in verse number 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." In verse number 28, he commends the church at Ephesus, the church members at Ephesus, the people of Ephesus. He commends them to the keeping of the elders. He charges the elders to to take oversight, to be faithful in their duties to them. And in verse number 32, after commending the people of Ephesus to the elders of Ephesus, in verse number 32, he commends the elders to God. Not to another man, not to another apostle, not to another senior official. But in verse number 32, he commends them to God and to God's keeping. And he says to them in that 32nd verse, I commend you to God. The word commend means to commit, to place in hand, to put under his care, to place near or to place aside. He says to these elders, I commend you, I commit you to God's keeping, as I will never see you again, most likely. He commends them to God, Almighty God. Of course, there's only one God. He commends them to his keeping. He commends them not only to God, but he commends them to the Word of God. He commends them to the Word of grace. Verse number 32, it says, and to the Word of grace. I think it's up in verse number 28. No, that's not it. Verse 24. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he commends these elders to God's keeping, commends them to God, which through the Word of God, the Word of grace, the gospel of the grace of God, he says is able to build them up. Build them up. The real nature of the definitions here means he commits them to God and the Word of his grace, which are able to upbuild them, to build them up. It's important to see the individual believer as a one who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, has been born again, who's had that foundation laid for them. And after the laying of the foundation, to see something start rising up from that foundation, a structure, an edifice, a building. He says, I commit you, I commend you to God who is able through his word, with his word, to upbuild, to build you up, to raise up a edifice, a structure. In chapter 9 of Acts, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. It says these churches from Judea to Galilee to Samaria were edified. The word edified simply means built up. It's what we're looking at in our time together this morning. The churches were built up. They were upbuilt during this particular time of peace after the conversion of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, First Thessalonians chapter 5, 9-11. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Comfort yourselves together and build up one another. What the scripture plainly says in that 11th verse. The Apostle Paul is speaking directly to the elders, and he reminds them that I'm committing you to God because God is able to build you up. Build you up. As we search the scriptures, we come to find out, without reservation, that this is not a hope, this is not a promise, this is not an assurance that's limited to elders or limited to pastors. We can go to several passages of scripture that make it very plain to us that all of God's people need to understand, all of God's people need to see, all of God's people need to be reminded that God is able to upbuild all of us. God is able to build all of us up. And that's the message this morning. He is able to build you up. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know he's my Savior. I know I'm going to see him one day. I know he's able to keep all that I've committed to him during that time frame. And during that time frame, I know, and we need to know, I believe, and we need to believe, that he is able to build us up. As we go through this life, I believe we need to see all of ourselves committed, commended to God, and the promise that he will upkeep us. We need to see that as a church. That as we wait for the coming of the Lord, and we wait for the seeing of our Lord for the first time, having full confidence that he's able to keep all that we've committed unto him, as we go through this time, and these are going to be perilous times, we need to understand that he is able to build us up. To build us up. And that's more than just the simplistic encourage us. But he's able to strengthen us. He's able to uphold us. He's able to construct us. He's able to build us up even during these days. Make us more sufficient. Make us stronger. He is able to build us up. And in our thought of he is able to build us up, you find all the stages of salvation. And now, back in our text, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. We see, first of all, in that thought of he is able to build us up, salvation in its initial stage. Salvation as it involves our pardoning, our conversion, our forgiveness, our salvation, our receiving of eternal life. This thought of he is able to build us up, first of all, shows us the initial stage of our salvation, the beginning stage of our salvation. That's where it all begins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 9, 10, and 11. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, the believers at Corinth, For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He's talking to the church at Corinth. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's husbandry, God's field, if you would, that he's working to produce a crop in. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's building. But as individuals, we can see ourselves as the habitation of God. We can see ourselves as individual believers as being God's building. And the Apostle Paul says here in verse number 10 that he had laid the foundation. Someone else had come along and had built upon that foundation. I believe the reference there to his having laid the foundation is a reference to his preaching the gospel, his bringing of Christ to them first of all. He had laid the foundation, which was Jesus Christ. And they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And a church had been organized at Corinth. And some others came along after him. Not false teachers, not apostates or any kind of evil men, but others appointed of God came along after Paul had laid the foundational work. They had come along and had built upon it. And he's speaking about the fact that he had brought the gospel to them, God had saved them, and others had come along after him, working in the husbandry, working on the building of God. He makes it very plain in verse number 11, after saying, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, someone else has come along and built thereupon. I have laid the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Foundation is Jesus Christ. This promise, this hope, this assurance we have that God is able to build us up, first and foremost reveals to us salvation in its initial stage, in that time when we heard the gospel, repented, believed, received, and the foundation was laid. He's able to upbuild us because he's already started the work within us. He's able to upbuild us because the foundation has already been laid. He's able to put a structure upon the foundation of Jesus Christ because the gospel has been preached and the gospel has been believed and souls have been saved and the work of the Lord has been started. And as we consider that promise, he is able to build us up. First thing we need to see is salvation in its initial stage. But second of all, as we consider he is able to build us up, not only do we see salvation in its initial stage, but we see salvation in its subsequent stages. We see salvation in those stages that come after salvation's initial and first experience. Build up, or to upbuild, means to build upon. To build upon. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse number 19. Read the remainder of this chapter. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. He says to these believers at Ephesus, they were strangers, they were foreigners, but now they're no longer strangers and foreigners, but they're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. They'd been saved. And he's revealing to them in verse number 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. He is able to build us up. We see in that statement salvation in its initial stage. But he's able to build us up also shows us a building upon. And that shows us salvation in its subsequent stage. All the building grows and develops and is built up for a habitation, for a dwelling place, for a residence, if you would, of God through the Holy Spirit. It begins with salvation. It begins with the word of grace and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it continues. And he's raising up people. He's raising up individuals to be habitations, to be spiritually minded dwelling places. He's taking churches that have been started, and he's growing them, and he's developing them, and he's upbuilding them that they might be places of habitation. In the book of Colossians, I think this puts it best, simplest. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 through 9. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There's salvation in its initial stage. They had received Christ. They had heard the gospel. They had believed to the saving of their soul. And churches has already been established and started there. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Look at verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As you have received Christ, so walk in Christ, be rooted in Christ, be built up in Christ, be established in the faith, grow up, is the instruction. And that's actually the simple language that we find in Ephesians chapter 4, where we're told to grow up in Christ. Grow up in Christ. So in this thought of he is able to build us up, we see salvation in its initial stage. It all begins with knowing Christ, receiving Christ, hearing the gospel and believing the gospel is the saving of our soul or the establishing of a church. He is able to build us up continues. And we see the subsequent stages as we grow. We develop. The Lord is able to cause us to grow, to develop, to strengthen us, to make an edifice of us, to make a structure of us. As we think about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, face to face one day, the in-between time is when He's working on us. The in-between time is when He's building us. The in-between time is when He's making us a habitation. And we need to see in this thought, He is able to build us up to the fact that that's the initial stage of salvation. That's the subsequent stage of salvation also. But we also see in this thought, He's able to build us up. In verse 32 of our text, He's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Not only do we see salvation in its initial stage, salvation in its subsequent stages, but we see salvation in its consummation. Its consummation. As we have committed all things to His keeping and have full confidence that He's able to keep us until we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ personally and directly, we need to see salvation in its initial stage, salvation in its subsequent stage, and salvation in its consummation when we see Christ. We've trusted Christ and the work has begun. He's able to build us up and to strengthen us as we journey through this time on this earth. But one day our salvation is going to be complete. One day salvation is going to be consummated. And that has been brought up, I don't know how many times, I couldn't count, throughout the course of this series of messages. We know He's able to keep that which we've committed until we see Jesus. We know we're saved because we have received and we have trusted in Christ. We display we know we're saved by how we live, the way our lives are built for the honor and glory of the Lord. But our salvation is not complete until we see Jesus. Until we see Jesus. We're saved and we're eternally secure the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. But He's still working on us all the days of our life. And we're never really whole, we're never really totally, completely saved until we're in the presence of the Lord. And that's what it's all about. That's the blessed hope that God's people are to look forward to. We have an anchor that's entered into the veil. I believe that anchor is Jesus Christ. He has already gone into the veil. He's already gone into glory, waiting to receive us, waiting till we come. He has gone into glory to secure and guarantee our place. And our salvation will not be complete until we're in His presence. We need to remind ourselves of that, lest we become too worldly. We need to remind ourselves of that, unless the things of this world become the most important things to us. We need to remind ourselves of this, lest we think the reason the Lord saved us was just to keep us out of hell. We need to remind ourselves of these things, lest we forget that this world is not our home. It's not all about here and now. Our home is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should never become satisfied, never become complacent, never become lackadaisical, never become so worldly minded where all we do is things of the world, that we don't keep our affections on things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father, as Colossians chapter 3 says to us. First Peter. Chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is alive from the dead. Verse 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's where our inheritance is. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away. It's reserved, though, for us in heaven. So we're not going to be satisfied, we're not going to be happy until we're in heaven. We're not going to see the Lord, we're not going to be in the presence of the Lord until he comes and those trumpets sound and he calls us up to heaven to be with him. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now speaking about here and now, who are kept here and now in this lifetime, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Notice the statement here. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Unto salvation. See, that's not talking about salvation in its initial stage. That's not talking about salvation in its subsequent stages. It says there in that fifth verse, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, unto the deliverance, unto our being called away and our being taken into the presence of the Lord. So many ways of looking at this. Life, sin, sanctification. We're saved from the penalty of our sins. As we live our life, we're saved from the power of sin. But one day, the Lord's going to come again. One day, we're going to go to be with him, and we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. The very presence of sin. And I have thought much lately, and have commented on it in services, how hard it is to imagine being perfect. It's not something we really can do, but we'll be perfect when we're like him, when we're in his presence. We can't fully understand what it means to dwell in a glorified state, have a glorified body like Christ, but we're going to have a glorified state. And along these lines of wonderment, since Eve, along with Adam there, fell into sin, man has never been able to dwell where the absence of sin is. But one day we're going to dwell where the absence of sin is. We're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin. One day, we're going to be saved from the presence. It's gone. Forever are we to be removed from it. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So Paul says to the Ephesians there in Acts 20, I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, showing they had already been saved, showing the initial stage of their salvation and redemption, showing he is able to build them up during their time on earth as they looked for the coming of the Lord, salvation in his subsequent stages. to an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, salvation in its consummation, in its completion. And as we think about those things we've committed unto God and have confidence He's able to keep those until we see Him and we're in His presence, let us remember as we go through this life, He's able to build us up. He's able to edify us. He's able to upbuild us. And I believe He's always upbuilding His people, always building upon that which He has done, has accomplished in the saving of our soul. Let us remember this confidence we have that He's able to build us up speaks of the fact that we're saved, speaks of the fact that He is working on us now that we are saved and are children of His, and one day it'll be complete when we're in His presence. Are you here without the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here and you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been saved. Everything we're talking about is foreign, beyond your understanding. You've not committed anything to God. That means salvation. Before you can commit anything to God, like Paul is speaking about there in 2 Timothy 1, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But Jesus Christ died to save sinners. 2 Timothy 1:12 can become yours, real to you, by knowing Jesus Christ, by knowing you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, having full confidence that now that you have believed, He's able to keep that which you've committed unto Him against the time you see the Lord. These stages of salvation, if you would, can be yours if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't ever forget He's able to build you up. And He never stops that work until we're in His presence. Let's stand.